Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The U.S. Department of Defense is one of the largest organizations in the world. It executes a budget more than twice that of the world's largest corporation, has more personnel than the populations of a third of the world's countries. The size and complexity of the department's finances and operations, along with the rapid pace of change, engagement in major military campaigns, and the worldwide economic uncertainty make it an imperative that DoD create a more agile, responsive, and efficient operation. Doing this will provide the best support and services for troops in the field, their families at home, and enable the department to be responsible stewards of the nation's resources. How is DoD improving financial information and audit readiness? What is DoD doing to improve its operations, become more efficient, and control costs? And what is DoD doing to promote management and organizational excellence? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Robert Hale, Undersecretary of Defense and Comptroller within the U.S. Department of Defense. Welcome, Bob.
Glad to be here.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is John Bonklis.
Thank you, Michael. Glad to be here also.
Bob, before we delve into specific initiatives, perhaps you could give us an overview of the history and mission of your office.
Okay, I'd be glad to. Our overall mission is to be the principal financial advisor to the Secretary of Defense, and my office coordinates my efforts to do that. That includes formulating budgets, includes working with the Congress to be sure those budgets are enacted as best we can, and then executing the budgets. Obviously, many people in the Department of Defense participate in those tasks, but we have the overall responsibility for helping the Secretary do it. You know, the history goes back as long as I can remember. I've been involved in and out of defense budgets for more than three decades, but I'm pretty sure my office probably goes back to formulation of the Department of Defense. I imagine there was a comptroller back in 1947.
As a follow-up, could you tell us about the specific areas under your purview, the size of the budget you actually steward, and how your efforts support the overall mission of the department?
I'll go with the facts first. This year, we will execute about $688 billion worth of budget authority of the taxpayers' money to maintain our national security. So we obligate $2 to $3 billion a day on average. It's a very sizable amount. The Department of Defense is, in many ways, more like a country. Our budget's about equal to the gross domestic product of the Netherlands. In terms of the specific things that I do, as I mentioned, we spend a lot of time formulating budgets. It's our way of putting together our priorities. Also need to put them together in a way that can convince the Congress and the public that we both need the resources and will spend them appropriately to maintain national security. And then we have a responsibility to make sure that we execute those budgets in a manner that's legal, and there are 8,000 pages in the DoD Financial Management Regulations, so there are lots of laws and regulations, that's effective, that we meet the needs of our warfighters, and finally, it's efficient, for the sake of the taxpayers, and maybe particularly in these days, efficiency is very much on our minds. So all of those are part and parcel of my day-to-day responsibilities.
So I was wondering, is it fair to say, do you believe that the financial function in DoD is properly structured, both for internal and external conditions?
I think so, roughly. I mean, I'm sure there are changes that are being made and should be made, but I think basically it's structured correctly. And let me say why. The great majority of financial managers in the Department of Defense work for our commanders and managers in the field. There are about 68,000 people in the defense financial management community. Roughly 58,000 of them are civilian employees. The other 10,000 are military. And I'm going to guess 90% or more work for our commanders and managers. And that's how it should be. They are the people out there actually doing the day-to-day tasks. They're the ones that need the advice and counsel to make sure that things are legal, effective, and efficient. A small percentage work in offices like mine that provide oversight. So, I think it's basically properly structured.
Thank you, Bob. Regarding your responsibilities and duties, what would you say are your top three challenges that you face in your position, And how are you addressing those challenges?
Well, certainly a key challenge is to make sure that we acquire the resources that we need to meet national security objectives and do that when we're dealing with a nation that is in an economic crisis. I mean, obviously, strong downward pressure on all federal spending, as including defense spending, as we look for ways to reduce the deficit. And I think those of us at the Department of Defense, Secretary Panetta has said that we understand we need to be part of efforts to hold down the deficit. At the same time, it's a dangerous world. We're still in a shooting war in Afghanistan. We're completing the military mission in Iraq. We're supporting a NATO mission in Libya. There are other nations like Iran and North Korea that are of potential concern to us from a national security standpoint, and I could go on with the list. So I think a key challenge is striking that right balance, getting the resources we need, but understanding that we need to make every dollar count in order to hold down the deficit. Once we get the resources, we need to execute them, as I've said, in a manner that's effective. I think we do that pretty well. A bigger challenge, though, is how well we do at documenting how we've spent the money and presenting that information to the public. And in particular, we are one of the two federal agencies that has never had a clean opinion, accounting opinion on, or audit opinion on its financial statements. And that's something we need to change. My new boss just issued a statement a day or so ago saying we are going to get clean audit opinions, and I fully support him. So we are working that issue. It is definitely a challenge. And the last one I'll mention is championing, working for a strong financial management workforce. We need to have those 68,000 people well-trained, and I think they generally are, but I believe we need to provide a better framework for that training, and so I'm in the process of putting in place a course-based certification program for defense financial managers that will specify, as we do now for the acquisition workforce, for each job a certain level, and for each level a certain amount of training and courses that we would ask that they complete before they pursue that position. So I'd say that the budget job, certainly a major challenge, auditability a major challenge, working to maintain a strong workforce also a challenge.
Could you describe, if you'd like, please, your career path? How did you begin your career, and what do you bring in your current leadership role?
Well, I think a fair amount of diversity in my career. I started out after college and joined the United States Navy. I'm dating myself here, but it was the height of the Vietnam War when I graduated from Stanford in 1968. So I joined the Navy about a year later, spent a little more than 2 years as a Navy officer, and then about 5 years in the Selected or Drilling Reserves. I moved from that to a civilian position with a consulting firm, the Center for Naval Analyses. But the next big jump for me was to go to work for Congress as a staff person in the Congressional Budget Office, now a well-known organization in Washington, but at that time brand new. And I spent 12 years heading the Defense Program Analysis Group within the Congressional Budget Office, and it gave me an opportunity to see and work with members of Congress and their staffs. From there, I went to the Department of the Air Force, actually, as the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Financial Management and Comptroller, spent 7 years. After I left there, at a lot of time in government, I got a chance to head a professional society, the American Society of Military Comptrollers. I was their executive director. And that gave me an opportunity to see more of the people side of this business, the importance of training and professional development. And following that job, I took this one as the Comptroller and Chief Financial Officer of the Department of Defense. So we've been working in and around government for more than 3 decades, and much of it in and around the defense budget.
Well, with that experience, I was wondering if you could tell us, in your mind, what are the characteristics of an effective leader? And more particularly, who has influenced your leadership style and management approach?
Well, I think what I'll say is probably classic MBA stuff. I think an effective leader is one who first can articulate a vision of where he wants his or her organization to go. And the vision thing is important and not easy to do. I remember somebody saying to me once, if you don't have a vision and a list of associated tasks that are significantly more than you can do, then you're not stretching yourself. So I think establishing a vision is key, but it's not good enough to just say where you want to go. You need to provide the resources, both in terms of people and dollars, to work to accomplish that vision. and provide the motivation to those who will make that vision a reality for you. And finally, I think an effective leader is one who has a sense of how to measure progress and not do it in a way that's stifling to people who work for him or for her, but also measures how well you're doing so you can make changes as you almost have to do in approaches to achieving your vision. So it's sort of vision, resources, and measurement. No one person has influenced me, but I've learned a lot from my former boss, Secretary Gates, who just recently left the Department of Defense. Brilliant man, strong manager. I think I'm going to learn a lot from my current boss, too. He's new to the Department of Defense, but he's got political skills that I think will serve us well and that I will be able to learn from, and many others throughout my career.
How is DoD improving financial information and achieving audit readiness? We will ask Robert Hale, Undersecretary of Defense and Comptroller at the U.S. Department of Defense, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.